Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sonequa Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White the Third, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast number 153, titled John Chrysostom, Part 6, Return to the Wilderness. When I became a believer in Jesus Christ so long ago, dear friends, I'm sorry, please forgive my ignorance, but I somehow had the false and crazy idea that Christianity began when I got saved. My salvation experience was so dramatic, I call it an Apostle Paul transformation and salvation experience, because I was going in the opposite direction and God had to knock me off of my horse, so to speak, and save my soul and change my life, because I hated the church. And basically God asked me, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you persecuting me? And so it was dramatic, my dear friends. And I guess that's the reason why it was all new to me. I had no concept of the hundreds of years of history, yea, thousands of years of Christian history. That had passed since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago. I have found that many believers, young and old, have the same false idea for whatever reason, because once you are truly born again, it is a powerful thing. It may not be emotional, but it's real. The purpose of this podcast, my beloved, is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry of Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy-to-understand way and format, short, bite-sized podcasts, but continual, until we're done. And then who knows, I may do it again. And one of the reasons why I do this is because I am convinced that most churches, no matter the denomination, do not teach the people who go to their churches basic, fundamental, general Christian history that covers all of Christendom, not just their denomination, see, because if they don't teach general Christianity, contrary to what they think, they would more than likely lose members instead of keep members, because the members don't understand where all of these denominations came from. And they really don't know what's going on regarding church history. If pastors and churches, pardon me, taught a bona fide, graded church history class as a part of their discipleship, I believe that the church would become much stronger, much stronger. Doctrine is great, but I believe it needs to dovetail with Christian history. Many pastors don't get much Christian history at the seminary level either. And so it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. So, beloved, you don't have to worry. This is not a boring lecture. This is simply a look at the basic fundamental facts and figures of general Christian history that every believer and every person needs to be aware of. In fact, I really don't believe that you can be considered an educated person without taking a course, at least, or reading a book on Christian history. Because, hear me when I tell you, Jesus Christ and the church has changed the world. Jesus Christ and the church has impacted every aspect of this world. Some of you have graduated from colleges named after figures in the Bible and you don't even know it. There are secular universities named after Christian figures and they don't even realize it. The foundations of the university is based upon Christianity. So, beloved, our scripture for today is Isaiah 40, verse 3, which reads, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Our history of Christianity quote today is from Thomas Aquinas. He said, "Better to illuminate than merely to shine, to deliver to others contemplated truths than merely to contemplate." Today, my beloved, in the history of Christianity, we are looking at John Chrysostom, part 6, Return to the Wilderness, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, Companion Series, Part 1 and Part 2, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. But Chrysostom had made many more enemies among the powerful. Eudoxia, the emperor's wife, resented the bishop's growing power. Besides, what was being said from the pulpit of Hagia Sophia was not to her liking. It fitted her too well. When Chrysostom described the pomp and the folly of the powerful, she felt the people's eyes staring at her. It was necessary to silence that voice from the wilderness that had brought such wild ravings to the elegant Hagia Sophia. With that in mind, the empress made special grants to the church. The bishop thanked her and continued preaching hard against hypocrisy, evil, and sin. Then the empress had more direct methods of recourse. When Chrysostom had to leave the city in order to attend to some matters in Ephesus. Eudoxia joined Theophilus of Alexandria in plotting against the meddling preacher from the wilderness. Upon his return, Chrysostom found himself the object of a long list of ridiculous charges brought before a small gathering of bishops convened by Theophilus. He paid no attention to them, but simply went about his preaching and his management of the church. Theophilus and his partisans found him guilty and asked Arcadius to banish him. Prodded by Eudoxia, the weak emperor agreed to that request and ordered Chrysostom to leave the city. The situation was tense. The people were indignant. The bishops and other clergy from neighboring towns gathered at the capital and pledged their support to the bishop from the wilderness. All that he had to do was to give the order, and they would convene as a synod that would condemn Theophilus and his followers. This could be coupled with a popular uprising that would shake the very foundations of the empire. One word from the eloquent bishop and the entire conspiracy against him would crumble. Arcadius and Eudoxia were aware of this and made ready for war, but Chrysostom was a lover of peace and therefore made ready for exile. 3 days after receiving the imperial edict, he bid farewell to his friends and followers and surrendered to the authorities. The populace was not ready to give up without a struggle. The streets were boiling with rumors of mutiny. Arcadius, Eudoxia, and the army did not dare show themselves in public. That night, in what was taken as a sign of divine wrath, the earth quaked. A few days later, in response to the fearful and urgent pleas of Eudoxia, Chrysostom returned to the city and to his pulpit, where he was received with shouts of acclamation. Next time, my beloved, we will continue looking at John Chrysostom's return to the wilderness. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for watching over your church and your people. Thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding and directing your church the way you want it to go. And Lord, help us to learn from the past, not to repeat it, the bad things, but help us to learn from the past to repeat the good things. And help us to be the shining lights in these last and evil and perilous days. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friends, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you.